I want to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 in your Bible. And as you're doing that, I want to let you know that the man that sits before you that we are installing as we speak this morning is a very different man than I knew years ago. So many of you look at Neil and you see a husband and a father. You see a pastor, a faithful shepherd, an upfront leader in this church, one that many of you have looked to for counsel and for care. That's a different man that I knew in Louisville, Kentucky. In fact, if you went back to Louisville and went to Auburndale Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and started asking about Neil Jackson, you'd probably hear a pretty different person. You see, you'd hear about a shy single man in our church. You would hear about a man who faithfully served the church in so many ways, and in most cases behind the scenes, and you never heard him complain about it. You'd hear about a man that faithfully went and worked the graveyard shift at UPS throwing boxes, put himself through school, and a man who quietly and faithfully did his studies at the seminary there. You'd hear about a man that went and visited lonely widows, and then nobody knew about it. And somebody who went and would see shut-ins, people who couldn't come to church because of health reasons, and he would go and see them and minister the word to them and care for them. If you went to Auburndale and asked about Neil, you would probably hear about a notorious story that when he stood on unstable tree limbs 15 feet high with a chainsaw cutting other limbs with a rope tied around his waist, like that was going to do anything. Because an 85-year-old deacon told him, "I used to do this and you should learn how to do it as a young deacon in our church." That's a whole other story in itself. But if you went back and you talk to me as his pastor for those 4 years, you would hear about my children's first Sunday school teacher, who I have children graduating high school now, who knew I was coming down here and started telling me things that they remember Neil taught them when they're children. You'd hear about, for years, every Wednesday night after Bible study, Neil would come to our house. We drink a bunch of coffee, and we would eat sandwiches, or we would feed him because he was about to go to work all night. And we would sit and talk about life and ministry, and he came to our house for years on Wednesday night so he wouldn't have to drive all the way home because his work was real close to our house. You would hear about somebody who, well, I ministered in a very hostile environment the first 5 years in our church, that I had somebody that I knew was with me and supported me and was praying for me. And I've been at our church now almost 15 years, and if you came back to Auburndale for the people who were there when Neil was there and knew him, you would hear a consistent theme of people saying that still to this day, though he spent 4 years with us, which doesn't sound like a long time, he's still one of the most beloved members in our church. So I assume this isn't a surprise to most of you, since he's been here 9 years, and you all as a church have made a decision to make him your new senior pastor. I assume he's had a similar impact in this place that he had back in Louisville, Kentucky. So I think we all realize this is not your typical installation service. You're installing somebody who's been one of the elders for 8 years in your church. So it's a bit of a different situation. Neil and Ruby have spent years investing in this church. Might even feel a bit, you know, anticlimactic. And that's okay. But I don't want you to miss that God, in his kind and mysterious providence, has brought you as a church and has brought the Jacksons together in this moment for this new day. And it's a day I'm convinced it will require you to do something really important, and that's to look back to consider how now you're supposed to move forward as a church, to look back so you know how to move forward. And I want to focus on really one verse. I know that some of you probably read 7 through 17 in Hebrews 13. I hope that was good for your soul this week. I made a change in what I wanted to address, so apologize for that. But I want to focus on verse 7 mainly. I'm going to read it in a moment because this is a loaded verse that I think speaks well to this unique circumstance that you find yourself in to know how to get divine guidance and help for the future. It comes from the book of Hebrews. And before we dig into this, I want to just briefly remind us about the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is designed to exalt the supremacy and the glory of Jesus. One of the reasons, another reason it's really important to know the book of Leviticus and to hear Leviticus 16 read, is because it shows us what Christ powerfully accomplished in being the perfect atoning sacrifice by he shed his own blood on the cross, lived a perfect life, was this perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. And there is no other sacrifice to be made now. He has atoned for our sins, and it's through faith in him. He died. He rose on the third day. He now reigns at the right hand of the Father over our lives and over all the nations. And he is the one mediator to get us to God when we place our faith and our trust in him. Salvation is only through him. The book of Hebrews captures this beautifully and in connection to the book of Leviticus. That's another reason that passage is important. So I want to tell you first as a church and to Neil as the new pastor that as we begin to we just look at one verse in Hebrews, but consider the book as a whole. The way you move forward as a church is to realize that Christ is enough. You fix your eyes on him. He alone is all you need to move forward and for him to build this church in the future. The book of Hebrews reminds us of that powerfully. And the first 12 chapters of Hebrews is really spent doing that, showing how Jesus is better than all of these other things that we read about in the Old Testament and ultimately becomes that perfect sacrifice to atone for sins, to satisfy fully the wrath of God on sin. That's the first 12 chapters. And then we come to 13. Chapter 13 of Hebrews is an interesting chapter in the full larger book of Hebrews. There's all kinds of what seems to be random exhortations in Hebrews 13, almost like the author's wrapping things up, so he's just giving these exhortations. But the purpose of Hebrews is to show the supremacy and the glory of Christ so that you will persevere in your faith. The Christians he's writing to were at risk of falling away from following Jesus, and he's urging them that look to Jesus, fix your eyes on him, and that's what you need to persevere in your faith. So these exhortations at the end of the book of Hebrews in 13 work to that end. They're exhortations, they're different instructions that will help the Christians he's writing to know how to persevere, and it is the same for us this morning. So let's read chapter 13, that one verse. And I'll reference a couple verses around it. And by the way, just so you know, I am an expository preacher through books of the Bible. That is the normal diet at our church and has been for a decade and a half. I just felt led by the Lord for us to kind of stop and stare and meditate on this one verse because I feel like it so uniquely applies to this situation. And I pray that God will speak to us through it. So Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. There's a sermon note page in your bulletin. If you're taking notes, let me just let you know where I want to sit and stare at this verse for a few moments. Two ways that the writer of Hebrews says we should look back. And I'm convinced that will help you move forward from here. But it requires us to look back to see where we move forward. Here's the first thing. First way we look back. You remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. You remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. I'll never forget a late night conversation I had with one of my pastoral mentors. I was at the end of the interview process at Auburndale. They were about to call me, and I went to seek his counsel just to help, ask him to help me sort through some things. And in the midst of that, he said something. He asked, after a series of questions, he said something to me I'll always remember. He said, "I've affirmed your gifts. I've taught you everything I know. You should go pastor this church and know that God will be with you and I will be praying for you." Now, there's much wrapped up in those words, but the unspoken message of those words to me was this: I have taught and invested in you. I'm counting on you with God's help that you will be faithful and a good steward of what I have taught you and what I have done to invest in you. And still to this day, I regularly think about those words, and because I have this desire to continue to be faithful, to persevere in my own faith, and then to persevere in the ministry that God's called me to. And that's to be true for each one of us. From this first exhortation written to these Christians here in verse 7, we need to see the implications for us today. That each of us, regardless on who we are where we are because someone first spoke God's word to us. We're where we are because someone taught us. Someone, somewhere, invested in us. And those of us who are pastors are now in this privileged position as preachers of God's word and shepherds of God's people to regularly do the same in your lives. Neil is now charged to do the same in your lives. So there's a couple of aspects to this. Remembering those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. Number one is that the word was spoken to us by their words, those who are to remember. The word was spoken to us by their words. Look down at verse 7 again. The exhortation begins with, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Now, in this context, the primary identity of those who led you and spoke the word are the leaders in the churches of these Christians that the writer is writing to. Look over at chapter 13, verse 17. Verse 17, just a few verses ahead. He writes, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." It's talking about the pastors primarily, because they're the ones that are called to shepherd the flock and to give an account to the chief shepherd for your souls. And that's the connection of verse 7 here. This instruction in 7 is here also because perhaps there were some who were wrongfully questioning the teaching or the conduct of these particular leaders, and it was maybe leading to a skepticism about what the gospel really was. This may explain the content of the next two verses. Look there with me, verses 8 and 9. They seem randomly placed, but they're not. Verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited." So you have this exhortation in verse 7. Remember those who led you, spoke the word of God to you, conducted themselves in this way, imitate their faith. And then verses 8 and 9, these verses come right after that. They're not randomly placed. It seems to affirm that the teaching of these pastors, the teaching of these leaders in the church, it was to be sound and true, both to exhort who Jesus Christ really is and to refute the false teaching about him. So the word was spoken to us, and those were to remember by their words. But here's the second thing about this. The word was spoken to us by their deeds. The message of the gospel is affirmed by holy, consistent living and faith. This is why the writer says this about these leaders. Look down at verse 7 again. Spoke the word of God to them. Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So one of the reasons the writer is so adamant about telling them to remember those who led them and spoke to them is because of their holy conduct and persevering faith that they modeled, that actually affirmed the truth of the gospel that they preached. So we see a strong implication that these Christians, if they were to reject Christ and their faith in Christ, they would also be rejecting those who led them well, who faithfully spoke the word to them, who powerfully lived out the gospel before them. They would be rejecting them. And he says, so remember them. So the message is clear that all those who previously spoke the word of God to each one of us are a gift to us from God. All Christians should recognize and be most grateful for those people who by God's sovereign grace were placed in our lives to faithfully lead us and to speak God's word to us, those who lived lives that were to imitate. I would dare say this is especially true for those who become pastors and shepherds of God's people. And this is what the writer hopes this instruction will accomplish in them. And I pray it will happen even for us this morning, who we consider those who spoke God's word to us in both word and deed. I want to ask you to take a moment and think about those people in your life. This is a good application of the sermon. Think about those people in your life. Who are the one or two people, third person, that comes to your mind as we're even digging into this text? Because think of that person that shared the gospel with you and led you to follow Christ and modeled that in the way they lived out a consistent life. They not only told you about Jesus, they showed you by the way they loved you. Think of that high school teacher or that college professor who made some special investment in you that really mattered. Think of that parent or that grandparent or that guardian who labored faithfully to teach you the word, even at times that you know your heart had grown cold towards it, and they still labored to teach you that word. Think of maybe that pastor who week in and week out faithfully spoke the word to you and lived it out in your life. I want to challenge you with something. Whoever's on your mind at this moment, to contact them this next week and tell them. And provide a great source of encouragement to them, I assure you. One of my pastoral mentors was a man named Jackson Boyette. And Jackson and his wife, Barbara, were killed by drunk drivers 5 years ago. And my last conversation with Jackson took place about a month before he died. I was on my way to a funeral, and I was doing the funeral of a woman who was 2 months shy of her 107th birthday. And so it just made me think of the ministry I was doing, this wonderful lady that I had got to know, and it made me think of Jackson. So I called Jackson while I was on the road, and I called because I just wanted to hear his voice. I was usually calling for advice or counsel of some kind, but not this time. I just felt a burden to want to say something to him. It was strange, but that's what I felt like doing, and so I did. And I called him, and I said, Jackson, I don't have any situation or advice to seek from you. I just wanted to hear your voice and say hi. I wanted to check on Barbara. She had had surgery. I wanted to hear how her recovery was going. And I wanted to tell him how grateful I was for him and his investment in me. This was the man that I really wanted to be when I grew up as a pastor. Modeled everything that I would want to try to pursue in a pastor. And I just said, thank you for investing in me and teaching me. I told him he had a greater impact on me as a husband and a father and a pastor than he would ever know. And I just said, thank you. And he obviously was very appreciative of that. And we had a nice exchange, and then I hung up the phone with him. How kind was God that he led me to make that call? Because in that moment, even a sovereign God knew something that I didn't know. That God that, you know, numbers all of our days before there was one of them knew something really specific, and that was going to be the last time that I had a conversation with Jackson. And he led me to make that phone call. So I want to encourage you to commit this week to do this. This will be a wonderful exercise for you to remember. Do what Hebrews 7 says. Remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. Make that call, send that email, write a letter. Whoever's on your mind as I talk about Jackson, for me, you should reach out to them. Because we're to remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. I want to encourage you as a church, you should remember in this way Shane and Kimberly Walker. By the way, I knew them well. They were at our church, as many of you know, for years before they came here. I knew them well. I know their ministry was fruitful here. To invest 10 years is a special thing in one church. I want to encourage you to look back as you come to this time where you now move forward with Neil as your senior pastor. I want to encourage you to look back on the impact that Neil and Ruby have had on each of you up to this point. There's clear impact, otherwise you wouldn't have made the decision that you did. And I want to encourage you to reflect, that this is a wonderful time to reflect back on the impact that they have had on you. And will help you trust them and be behind them as they move forward with you. Neil, I want to encourage you, brother, this is an important time to reflect for you. I know several men that invested in you, who are proud of you, and are grateful for the ministry you've had and that you're going to have. But I encourage you to reflect, because that remembering is what's going to spur you on to persevere in your ministry here from this day forward. So we remember those who led us and spoke the word of God to us. The second thing, the way we look back for you to move forward, is this. Remember, you are now one entrusted to lead and speak God's word. You are now one entrusted to lead and speak God's word. One direct implication from the author's instruction here in verse 7 is the responsibility of those charged to lead and speak God's word to others. In a sense, we now stand on the shoulders of those who led us and spoke the word of God to us and invested in us. And this is directly applied to Neil and to pastors, but this is also to each of us who've had others pour into us, that we now are to stand on their shoulders and have a similar impact on other people in our lives. We honor their investment and their example as we do that. So if you look down at verse 7, the writer of Hebrews implies that shepherds who are to be remembered, they exude two things that cause them to be remembered. So it's kind of the other side of the coin with this verse by implication. Here's the first thing about this. The way we remember those entrusted to lead and speak God's word, that we are to be that. Number one, we faithfully now are to lead others and speak God's word. In the same spirit of these Christians, remembering those who led them and spoke God's word to them, we must remember as pastors and under shepherds of the chief shepherd that we're now to lead and speak God's word. Neil is to now lead and speak God's word with all that he is because he has been taught and invested in and word has been spoken to him. But this actually implies more than just pastors. Parents, do you see your important role that to your children that you are to speak and teach them God's word and to live that out before them? There's tons of implications in our other relationships in this principle that you should not miss. Fellow Christians and covenant members in this church, you're to speak the word to one another, to build each other up, to encourage, to rebuke if necessary. So we are to faithfully lead others and speak God's word. But here's the second piece to this side of it. We are to be a Christ-like example to be imitated. Pastors, specifically here, the leaders, are to be a Christ-like example to be imitated. Look at verse 7 again. Consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Now, all of us are aware of our own sins to some degree, obviously, as Christians. We're aware of our struggles and our weaknesses to a level that it should make all of us tremble to even consider the idea that we would look at another Christian in the face and say, hey, do what I do. Like, say what I say. You need to imitate my faith. Like, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be able to say this. It makes me really uncomfortable just hearing me say those words myself. But that's the charge. It's the charge for those who are to be remembered in this way in verse 7. Neil, the task before you is not just that you speak God's word and that it bears fruit in the lives of your people now, but you're to imitate a faith that they can follow as you do it. That's a noble and serious charge. To be able to teach God's word and not only, but in some humble and transparent way to say, follow me in this, is a real challenge. But that's the charge here. I once heard an older faithful pastor who was instructing a group of pastors, and he looked at them all and he said that he was talking about this particular point of being an example to the flock, which is what 1 Peter 5 also says, to be an example, that elders to be an example to the flock. He says, what does a church member do when a non-Christian walks in and asks how a Christian should treat his wife? This man told all these pastors, he said, you know what your church members should do? Take that non-Christian and point to the pastor and go watch him. Watch him, how he lovingly and tenderly cares and honors that woman. That's the example. You need to go watch him. I mean, that's the call from Hebrews 13:7 generally, and specifically in 1 Peter 5, to be an example to the flock. So, Neil, this is what has to be said of us for those who step into this role. And this is a charge by God's grace that we can do, be faithful to do. We will be far from perfect in doing it. The goal is to be faithful. Friends, I have news for you. If you put that perfect expectation on him, he's supposed to do this all the time, you will be really disappointed. But there's a call for him to be faithful, to be that example to you. I'm going to charge you with that today. Many years from now, those of you at Andover Baptist Church, when you read this instruction 10 years and 20 years from now, from Hebrews 7, it says, remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you, and consider their conduct, imitate their faith, the natural reaction should be to look back and think of him. That's the implication of this for the church. So, Neil, I know that this can seem like an impossible task to ask yourself to do this. I would encourage you to fight against trying to do it in your own strength. The gospel that saves us is the same gospel that empowers us to be this example, if that's what God calls us to be. So don't look to yourself. Look to Christ as the way to accomplish it. Strive to be this example, and there is forgiveness through him too when you fail at being this particular example. And I also want to say that sometimes the way that a pastor's to emulate this is actually not doing everything right. That's what we always equate with this. I want to submit to you that one of the ways to be most faithful to this, to imitate someone else's faith, is when you are weak and you're frail and you struggle with sin, and you as a pastor fight to trust the promises of God. Neil, that you be honest with your struggles to these people. Be honest about how you struggle. Embrace your own humanity with this church. I'm convinced, and this is something pastors do terribly in their churches generally, but I'm convinced there's a special blessing upon a local church, when pastors make it a point to tell you and to show you that pastors need Jesus just as badly as every one of you. Whatever that looks like in honesty and transparency, that there's a special blessing when the pastor will embrace this reality. So I want to encourage you to look to Neil, to Jim, to future elders in this way, that they are instructed to teach God's word to you and then to hopefully live a faithful life that imitates the faith that you are to walk in. So I've come here today mainly to testify to the best of my ability of this man's fitness to be your senior pastor and to affirm your decision that you made already as a church. I knew this man before any of you, except his mom who's here. I can't say that. I heard him preach before any of you, and he's gotten much better, by the way. I saw his weaknesses and his strengths. And I want you to know before he ever came into your life, I saw with clarity that this is what God's call in his life was. And he hasn't arrived. He's got much to learn. But the Lord has been at work in him. And he's been at work in him for this work as long as I've known him. So Neil and I have spent over a decade talking about this particular day to come. That's why I've come, actually on my first day of vacation, because I wanted to be here, because this is a special day. And now that it's here, it's hard to put my joy into words. So let me just say this to you. Let me say thank you to you. Thank you for loving Neil and Ruby so well these last years. Thanks for receiving their care of you. Thanks for being gracious when you see the places that Neil still has to grow and learn. Thank you for trusting that God is giving him what he needs to adequately care for your soul in a way that he will answer for your soul to the chief shepherd, which I know he takes deeply serious. So as you look back on this place, many of you have been members a long time here, as you look back on all God's done in this place and in your life, remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you and realize that God will work uniquely in that to help each of you know how to press forward, to persevere in your faith, to persevere in serving this church, to persevere in supporting your new pastor. And he will move you forward in a way that will feed your soul, that will not just allow Christ to feel near and present with you, but it will keep you in Christ. And he will move you forward in a way that makes Christ known to your neighbors as well as the nations. And that is a wonderful purpose for any local church to have. And I'll pray that God will do that work in you and through you with your new pastor leading. So let me take a moment and pray for you in that way. Lord, thank you for the faithful witness of this church for many years. Thank you for faithful people who have served here long before Neil came. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage each one here who is in Christ and to remember in your kind providence the people that you placed in each of our lives to move us to this place of spiritual maturity that we find ourselves, wherever that is. Lord, help us to remember those you put in our path so that it would help us persevere. And not only help us to persevere, but to persevere in the ministry that you call us to, whether it's to be a pastor or to be a faithful parent or a faithful witness at work. Lord, help us to look back so we can know how to move forward in perseverance and faithfulness to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.